Okay, we're going to continue in the book of Revelation. So if you would take out your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 5. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 1218, 1218. Now, Revelation chapter 4, we read about this vision of God on the throne. And we saw that he is radiant, he's brilliant, he's awesome. I mean, he's surrounded by this rainbow. He has the sound of thunder and he has lightning emanating from his presence. There's this great amount of power and beauty surrounding him. We also saw that he's in control. He's at peace. There's no fretting going on in heaven. He's not wringing his hands, trying to figure out what he is going to do. There's just constant worship. There are 24 elders, and there are four creatures that continually worship him there. God is holy, holy, holy. He's almighty, all-powerful. Power is his. He's eternal. He is the eternal one, without beginning, without end. He's the creator and sustainer of all. He's the ultimate authority. We see all that in Revelation chapter 4. Now let's read Revelation chapter 5. As I read this, let the imagery soak in. Let it touch you. Just let this impact you as I read. John writes, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." That's a lot to try to take in. A lot of imagery. So as we have been doing, I'd like to look at it a little closer, help explain what some of these images might mean. Not that I can fully define this vision, but to help give you some meaning out of it. So again, starting with Revelation 5:1, John writes, I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. Now this scroll is important, but what is it? Well, Daniel chapter 12 tells us of a scroll which describes things that are going to happen at the end of time. In Daniel, the scroll is sealed until the time of the end. As we go on, we will see that the scroll contains the announcement of God's hidden plan of history. How things will ultimately end for all people is written on the scroll. It tells of the judgment of the world. It tells of the final reward for the saints, the believers. The fact that the scroll was written on both sides probably signifies the completion of all things hidden. Everything is on this scroll. It's extensive. It's comprehensive. So there's this scroll. And God the Father sitting on the throne is holding it in his right hand. And some mighty angel, we're not told who, maybe it's Michael, maybe it's Gabriel. Some mighty angel proclaims in his loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one is worthy. No one in all creation, heaven, on earth, under the earth, no one's worthy to open the scroll or even look inside of it. They can't even try to look in it. So John weeps because no one can open it. See, John knows this scroll is important. I don't know if John really knows what's in the scroll yet. I mean, what I'm saying the scroll is about comes later in the vision. John just knows that this is an important scroll. It was in God's right hand. And he weeps. And he weeps because no one can open it. No one is worthy. But then one of the elders says to John, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He's able to open the scroll and its seven seals. And John looks up. He says, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain. So now both Lion of the Tribe of Judah and Root of David are common titles for the Messiah. Jesus has triumphed. And only He is worthy. Now it may strike you as a little odd that no one in all creation is found to be worthy and now Jesus is worthy. Well, Jesus isn't created. And now this lion is a lamb. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, John sees as a lamb, looking as if it had been slain. Now Jesus is not literally a lion or a lamb. Jesus is God and man, fully God and fully man. But figuratively, Jesus is the lion. And figuratively, he is the sacrificial lamb who bears the wounds of death. He died, but now he lives. The central point of this, Jesus really is still alive. And he alone is able to open up this scroll. No one else. So John sees this lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Now some of these things are difficult to take literally. Okay? Standing in the center of the throne. Well, spatially, that's kind of hard. God is sitting on the throne, and Jesus is standing in the middle of it. The image there is that Jesus is the same as God. The Lamb is God. That's one of the central tenets of the book of Revelation. One of the central lessons of this book. Jesus is God. And it says Jesus has seven horns and seven eyes. Now that just looks kind of weird if you want to take that literally too, doesn't it? Okay. Seven horns and seven eyes. Horns represent power. Horns represent authority. Eyes represent knowledge, the ability to see things, the ability to understand. Seven signifies perfectness, completeness. So Jesus has complete, full power and knowledge. And Jesus comes and he takes the scroll. He is worthy to take the scroll out of the hand of God the Father. He takes it. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures that we learned about in the last chapter, the 24 elders, they fell before the Lamb. They were worshiping God, and now they start to worship the Lamb. And that is okay, because the Lamb is God. They each have a harp. They're also holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Something really important here is that our prayers are valuable. They're held in heaven. Okay, now, saints, don't let that throw you, okay? Saints are more than, you know, special super Christians. Saints, biblically, are the believers. They're the ones that Jesus has made clean. The ones that Jesus has made clean are the saints. Us, as followers of Christ. And the prayers of the saints are held in heaven. They're in the throne room of God like a sweet-smelling incense. Incense is used to worship God. Do you ever think of your prayer as worship? You should. To pray is an act of worship. To pray is to act like God is in charge. It's to act like what God is going to do matters. Because it does. He is in charge. To pray is to put into action the belief that God is in control. The belief that God changes things. The belief that God impacts the world. To pray is to take time to trust God, to invite Him to work in our lives and the lives of others around us. Those are all acts of worship. Then these 24 elders, the living creatures, they sing a new song. There needs to be a new song to describe Jesus. And He's proclaimed worthy. He's worthy to take the scroll. Well, He already has taken it. He's proclaimed worthy to take the scroll and to open it, to open the seals. And He's worthy because He was slain, that He purchased humanity for God by His blood. From all over humanity, all over the world, every tribe, language, people, and nation. That's a phrase that comes up often in the book of Revelation, and it means everybody, from everywhere. From all time, from all places, not just Israel. Jesus is proclaimed worthy because of His self-sacrificing act of redemption. He's given Himself. He has triumphed. I wouldn't have written it that way. I mean, Jesus is worthy because He's Jesus. But he's proclaimed worthy because he has triumphed. He's proclaimed worthy because he was obedient to death. He has given himself. Then John looks, verse 11, and he hears the voice of many angels, countless angels, thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, which is a million, but he's not saying there's a million angels. He's saying there's just bazillions of them. It's like just the biggest number you can think of. How many were there? There's just tons of them. There's lots. Angels all over the place. How many angels are there? Well, there's lots of angels. Countless. And they encircle the throne. And the living creatures and the elders. They're all around. And now they worship. And it's a great song that they sing. These are really all fantastic songs. In loud voice they sing together. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor and glory and praise. You know, I think about that list. Those are things that we crave. There's probably someone, something in there, one of those at least, that you crave. These are things that we will claw for. Power, or praise, or wealth, or strength, or honor. But Jesus is the one who is worthy of them. And then he hears every creature in heaven and on earth. It's interesting. It doesn't specifically say humanity. I wonder if every creature is meant to include us at this point or not. But every creature everywhere starts to sing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. There just continues to be worship and praise in heaven. The four living creatures say amen, and the elders fall down and worship. As we go on, we start down Revelation chapter 6, and the seals are opened, and with the seventh seal, there are then seven trumpets. It's not a pretty sight. A lot of bad things come. A lot of calamity, a lot of struggle, a lot of strife. But before we start that, we have this image of the one who has won the battle against sin and death. There's this crucial battle, and Jesus has won. And by winning this battle, by his sacrificial death, Jesus has taken control of the course of history. And he has guaranteed its future. On this scroll is written what's going to happen. It's already done. It's been decided. And as Jesus opens the scroll, things start to happen. He reveals what will happen and it sets it in motion. We're going to see horses with riders galloping out into the earth. And it's all in Jesus' hands. It's all in his control. The end is decided. The victory is sure. Jesus holds the keys to death and to Hades, and he holds the scroll. So in these last two chapters, chapter 4 and 5, we've seen God sitting on the throne. He can't be toppled. He can't be denied. He is in charge. And we see Jesus, the Son, the Lion, the Lamb who was slain. And He holds in His sure hands the future. Whether good or bad happens, whether pleasant or terrible things happen, Jesus has guaranteed the end. There remains a hope that is steadfast and is sure. As we go through trouble, whether we go through pleasant things or very unpleasant, whether we are in comfort or discomfort, whether terrible or wonderful, Jesus has guaranteed the end. There remains a hope that is steadfast and sure. Jesus can't be denied any more than God can. Just think about what you're going through, the good and the bad, and consider that Jesus is in control and He holds the end safe and secure in His hands.